Blog Talk Radio. Alicia.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We welcome every single body here to Wednesday night Bible study. We thank God for every single one that's here in attendance. You could have been anywhere, but here you are right here with us. Apostle Talmadge and I, you know, we're so grateful to have you join us, you know, because this is the day that God has made for us, and we shall rejoice and be glad in this day. You know, every single time that we have a chance to come together in the body of Christ, you know, we just have ourselves a Holy Ghost-filled time because we know that we are in the presence of the Lord. So I'd like to welcome every single body here in Houston, Texas. Apostle Talmadge, she had to see the dentist this afternoon, and that's not a time where you can be able to talk. She had to have a tooth extracted. So keep my wife, your apostle, your daughter, your friend, keep her in prayer. You know that she will have a speedy recovery in the name of Jesus. So I also like to welcome every single one from New York City. I'd like to welcome you here to Bible study. Welcome every single one from Louisiana, all parts of Louisiana, Shreveport, Louisiana, Lake Charles, Louisiana. Wherever you are there in Louisiana, we welcome you here to Bible study here on Wednesday night. So now that we have established, you know, the welcome here, now let us go into prayer before we get started. I am Pastor Jose Manning, and let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for every single opportunity that you give us, Father God, to be in your presence. We thank you, Father God, that you woke us up this morning, Father God, and when you spoke to us, you said, wake up. Hallelujah. We was able to hear your voice, and we was able to be glad. Hallelujah. We able to be glad because you kept us all night long from dangers that we did not even know about, all types of sickness and diseases, Father God. So we just want to say thank you. We thank you that you allowed us to have a wonderful day today on our journey in work today on the highways. We thank you for being with us. We thank you that you have already sent the Holy Spirit before us to guard us, to defend for us, and to protect us. We thank you, Father God, that you brought us back home safely in the mighty name of Jesus. So we just want to say thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, hallelujah, for living on the inside of us, for being our friend, for being our voice of reason. We thank you that you live on the inside because you are our partner, our unseen partner that shows us all things, that tells us all things. Even when we have concerns, you give all things to us in the mighty name of Jesus. So we say, Father God, all dwell with us, hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus. Because it is greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we just want to say thank you. We thank you for every single word that's going to go forth here in Bible study here tonight. But we do realize that every single word that you speak is for to build us, is for lift us, is for to show us that you are good to us and that you love us so much in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, we pray that you allow the scripture to be manifested in us, that we be able to see, hallelujah, that we be able to hear. But most of all, we're able to do all that you have for us to do in the mighty name of Jesus. We plead your blood, Christ Jesus, over us and over all that is concerning us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. To God be the glory, and all that do agree says amen, amen, and amen again. Amen. Well, let's go ahead on and get started with the lesson here tonight. The lesson is definitely going to be an open lesson. This is Bible study. So when you study the Bible, that means that we come together and we share what the Bible, you know, has for us. You know, everyone that can read the Word, you can get a revelation of the Word of God. And I will be giving a revelation of what God has shown to me and Apostle Tawanika and Minister Learn Green. You know, he would also be sharing with us some of the Word of God as well. So we're so proud and so to have Minister Learn Green from Chicago, Illinois here, you know, to help us, you know, right here in this pulpit. So we thank God for you. So the lesson tonight that I want to start off with is, let's start off with why do we take Holy Communion? Let's start right here. Why do we take Holy Communion? I want to read from Scripture first, and then we'll divide it up, you know, why do we take Holy Communion. But before we go to Scripture here, I want us to understand that what's the main purpose for us taking Holy Communion. See, Holy Communion is for us to remember what has already been done, what has already been set forth, and who done it, and who he did it for. So the Bible tells us, you know, that we should take Holy Communion in remembrance of what Jesus Christ have already done. So if you do have your Bibles, go with me over here to 1 Corinthians. Go with me over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I would take my time. You know, I have a lot of ground to cover, but you know what? We're not really in no hurry, because it's better to get one word from God than to try to get cram it all in there and miss a lot. So, you know, let's really just dive into this lesson here. Why do we take Holy Communion? I want us to have a clear understanding. That way, when we do take Holy Communion, we can end up in the place where God has us to be. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's start right here at verses 27. It reads here, I'll be reading this from the King James Version. 27 says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." 28 says, "But let every man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So now I want to speak to us as being in the body of Christ so we can understand, you know, what's going on with us. You know, we're going to set some foundation. You know, we take Holy Communion. You know, as I said before, you know, we take Holy Communion. That is the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup in remembrance of what Jesus Christ has already done. You know, we are saved by Jesus Christ. You know, we are saved from the curse of sin and the curse of death. So we take Holy Communion remembering that Jesus Christ, he broke the veil. Amen. That he broke the veil. You know, we know that Jesus Christ, he lives. Hallelujah. We know that he lived in the form of man. We know that every single thing that we face here in this world, Jesus Christ, he faced it as well in this world. But here it is, you know, Jesus Christ, he is victorious over all things that we face right now. He's victorious over all things. And that's the reason why he came here, you know, to win this, to win this battle, you know, this thing that we battle every single day. We battle sin and we battle death every single day. Every single day that you wake up, you're battling in somewhere. And we thank God, you know, that we have the Word of God. We thank God that Jesus Christ, you know, he saved us. He is our Savior. He is who we look to. And those of us who are saved, we know that, hey, we can rely on Jesus. So we take Holy Communion, and hopefully we are taking it daily. You know, we take it Holy Communion daily because we maintain our stance on what he has already done. He has saved you. And this is that covenant, you know, that we have that, hey, I don't have to worry about anything because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. You know, that's why we take Holy Communion. When, you know, there's something that you're worried about, you know, hey, take Holy Communion every single day, remembering that you don't have to worry about anything because you're in Christ. And Christ, he stands victorious for you. And every single thing that you are concerned about, you can take it to Christ and knowing that is already done. Amen. So now we have that established, you know, that's the reason why we do take Holy Communion. So I want us to understand something. You know, I don't know what it is that you face every day, but I know I do face some obstacles every single day. You might be facing something in your life that has to deal with your health. I might be facing something in my life that has to deal with relationship. Someone else might be facing something in their life, you know, that has to deal with anger or depression. I don't know what it is that you face every single day in your life. But I do know that whatever it is that you face in your life, I know that there is an answer for it. And that answer is in the written word of God. So now, when I like to show things, you know, in scripture, I like to write things down because I don't like to forget. Neither do I want any of us, you know, to forget, you know, what it is that we have read and what it is that we have heard. Now, the word of God has already been placed for us who are believers to be in the word of God. When I say be in the word of God, that means it has already been written for us to read it. It's been written for us to ask God for understanding of it. And it's already been placed for us to believe it, what God tells us for us to actually live, you know, to walk in the word of God, all right? So now, whatever it is that is concerning you, find yourself in that place to where you trust in God to give you an answer. See, there's some things that we just don't know. There are some things that, you know, we don't go to God for, and we try to work these things out, or we try to figure these things out, and it gets hard on us, and it gets us in a place, you know, in our heart, and gets us in a place in our mind to where we might become defeated. But here it is, you know, we have a champion that lives on the inside that goes by the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, that goes by the name of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, that lives on the inside that have already won the battle for us. And that's the reason why we have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside. So now, let us understand that he that believe in Jesus shall not be put to shame. See, the issue is we need to until we take the word of God and allow the word of God become life, until we take the word of God and it actually becomes life for us, you know, we can never, you know, see it, you know, come to a reality. The word of God has to become a lifestyle for you. And this is the reason why, you know, we're trusting in God and we're taking Holy Communion, because, you know, the word of God is just, we should remind that, hey, you have a Savior. So the word of God should become reality to you. It should become a lifestyle. You should have so much of the word of God inside of you that every single time that you face an issue in your life, your day-to-day life, you should be able to locate the word of God in the Bible, read it, and declare it, and know that the very thing that you have read and the very thing that you declare, that it shall come to pass. Why? Because we trust God. Amen. So allowing the word of God to become a reality to you, there are things in your life that you will be able to overcome. Consequently, absent from the word of God, there are things in your life that you're not able to overcome, because this is the issue of being in the word of God, knowing what to do when you don't know what to do. Amen. So now, if you do have something to write with, I want you to write down a few things here and give every single one that has any question or comment before we get too far into this lesson. Why do we take Holy Communion, and what has the word of God came to do in our life? You know, we need to understand that. What issues are we facing in our life, you know, that we deal with from day to day and we just don't know how to come out? Amen. So if you do have something to write down, I want you to write down these here. Write down number one. This is for us to have some guidance or some instructions to overcome things in our life. Number one, the word of God is the promise that God made to us. The word of God is the promise that God made to us and for us. So let's locate the promise that we are believing for in his word. All right. Let's locate the promise. Anything that you're facing in your life, let's locate it in the Bible. You know, let's find it. Let's find out where it is. Let's locate it. All right. Number two, once we have located whatever it is that we are dealing with in our life, our day-to-day life, believe what we have read in the word of God. Believe it by resting in the finished words of Jesus. Now, we have already established that Jesus Christ have already defeated Satan. He have already won the battle. He have broken the veil. And we have confessed that, you know, we are saved. You know, we have prayed the prayer of salvation. And we have confessed with our mouth, you know, that we are saved. So let's understand that we should rest in the finished works of Jesus Christ. Amen. Three, be settled. There's one thing about, you know, us as a person. Sometimes we can get in that place to where we know the word, and we go, you know, we go to the word of God, you know, we talk to God about whatever it is that is concerning us, and we have the word of God, and we'll be right there in that place, and then something will happen in our life where it'll get tough, and we'll come out of that mindset, we'll come out of that place, because this is the issue of allowing the word of God to settle in you. When I say settle in you, you know, we take the word of God and we keep on reading it and we keep on reading it, and we keep on saying it. We keep on standing on it. This is the will of God for us. Amen. The will of God for us is to daily get into the Word of God. And once we get into His Word of God, keep on reading it. Keep on confessing it with our mouth. You read it first, and then you say it. Because we understand that we have what we say. So be settled with it. Don't come out, you know, let's not be in a place to where, you know, we got the word, but it's not settled in our mind and not settled in our heart. It should be etched, you know, in our heart. Say, for instance, if here is someone is always trying to remind you of what you used to do or who you used to be. Well, we need to understand that this is going to always happen in some shape or fashion. Someone always is going to try to convince you that you're not who you say you are. When you settled in the Word of God, this shouldn't even move you. You shouldn't even be ashamed about who you used to be once you have been saved. Because being saved means that the old man or the old woman is dead and gone. We were baptized by water and then baptized in the Holy Spirit. So when you were completely immersed in water, hallelujah, you went down a sinner. But when you came up, hallelujah, that old man or that old woman was buried in that watery grave. So you're not him no more. You're not her no anymore. So anytime that someone tries to remind you of who you used to be, you don't have to be ashamed of it. You can really say that's who I used to be, but I'm not him no more, because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And just because you said that is the word of your testimony, and you stay right there in that place. Stay right there in that place. Amen. So settle what the promise of God is for you. You know, be settled in what God has promised, what God has said. 4, ask God according to John 14:13-14. Let's go over here to John 14. Let's go over here to John 14. John 14. And I'm going to read right here 13-14. So write this down. Number 4, ask God according to John 14:13-14. I know y'all ask me, okay, Pastor, what are you doing? See, we're setting ourselves up to know what to do when we don't know what to do. That's what I'm doing. I'm setting us up so we can have some type of guidelines, some type of structures. And, you know, there's, you know, God is wider than we can ever think and higher than we can, you know, ever imagine. But here it is, you know, we have the Word of God for us to have instructions, for us to know what to do, you know, be precise about knowing what to do when you don't know what to do. Because once you know what to do, then you know you can move on to something else, or you can show someone else how to, you know, how to get there, or whatever the case may be. John 14, 13, John 14 and verses 13, it reads here, and whatsoever, this is Jesus speaking, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do. Let's put a period right there. How many believe that when you go to God in prayer and you ask it in the name of Jesus, that it is done? Amen. How many? Scripture is saying here, now this is Jesus. Jesus, we know Jesus is who we pray to every single day. So now if Jesus is, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do. Is it hard for us, you know, to grasp that, you know, to believe that? Anything that you ask in the name of Jesus, that he will do? It should not be. So we ask things according to John 14, 13 and 14. Let us read on here just to finish this. He said that whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. 14 reads here, if you shall ask anything in my name, that I will do. That's a promise that God had made to us. God will not go back on his promise. So a lot of things that we deal with in our life, it's not an issue of if God is going to do it. See, we might get it in our mind, you know, in that place of we know the word of God, but then we get in that place in our mind if God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Well, understand that God already did it. It's an issue of belief. It's an issue of our faith. It's an issue of us having the word of God, you know, in our heart. It's an issue of us having the word of God, you know, etched, you know, in our mind. It's an issue of us being settled, you know, in the word, resting on what God have already said, what Jesus said, for us to see these things manifest, you know, in our life. That is the issue. The issue is that, hey, when you come and ask something in the name of Jesus, do you have it set up in your heart? Do you have it set up in your mind that what you ask in the name of Jesus, it shall be done? See, it don't matter what it is. It don't matter whatever it is that you ask in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that God won't do, because this is a promise. This is a promise. Amen? Five, I want you to write this down. Number five, meditate on the promise daily. So you locate the promise of God. You're resting on, you're believing in what God has said in his word, because we believe the word of God. Everyone that's in the body of Christ should believe the word of God. Amen. Any questions, any comments, anybody have any questions, any comments, I ask our dear friend, Minister Learn Green, to help me to lead this charge here tonight. But anybody have any questions or any comments, you know, just press one. I don't know if the lines are open, but do press one. We'll definitely bring you in for any questions, any comments. Any testimonies that you have, you know, for me? Amen, amen. Minister Learn.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome here.
Amen. God bless. This is a very good lesson, and I just wanted to share a verse, just give you a couple of points. And the verse is coming from 1 Peter, the first chapter, beginning at the 14th verse.
Okay.
It's in the International Version. Obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is ready, so be holy in all that you do. So the thing is, we have to be holy in Christ. And my testimony today is that when I first became saved, I changed my friends.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Amen.
I got saved at an early age. I got saved at the age of 13. Nobody told me to change my friends. I did it automatically.
Yeah.
That's one of my testimonies. Me and the guys used to play baseball, basketball, football in the neighborhood. And sometimes some of the things that we would say out of our mouths were not gotten.
Yeah.
So one of the things I did right after I got saved was I changed my friend. The thing is, we want to walk in a new life of Christ daily. Amen.
Amen.
I have another testimony. Then I'm going to stop. My next testimony is that this year, between the month of June all the way up until August, I was switched to the day shift, and I had to deal with a person that was ungodly. This person kept saying different things, making jokes and gestures, and I would try to interject Christ to this person on different occasions. And even on one occasion, I had even shared my lunch with him. Amen. And that broke down some of the evilness that was there. So the thing I want to share with you is that we have to guard our spirit, man, daily. Watch what we read. Watch what we watch on TV. And watch the music that we listen to. Amen.
Yeah.
That's why we have to be prayed up and pray without ceasing. Keep yourself pure so God can use you. Stay prayed up and study up. Then most of what is thrown at you will bounce up. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. We thank you so much for your testimony and Minister Learn. And we thank you for showing us this here in scripture. You said first this you gave us a scripture from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. Is that where you read that from?
Yeah, 14 and 15.
14 and 15. We thank you so much, you know, for your testimony. Amen. Amen. Anyone else, you know, that do have a question, do have a comment, testimony that you would like to give? Amen. Amen. Well, if not, we'll go ahead on and we'll move. We'll go ahead on and move forward. You know, I thank God for the lesson that's going on. I thank God for a testimony, you know, that's being given. Minister Learn Green, well, he said he got saved here at an early age, and he had to change his friend. Boy, that's so true. That is so true that when you enter into the body of Christ, you have to change the way you walk. You also, and he mentioned that, you know, you have to change the way you talk too. You have to change the way you walk and change the things you say. He said, "Be mindful of the things that you see, the things that you hear, and consequently, things that you get involved in, because you can get involved into some things that will cause you to slip." It can cause you to be badly, badly, badly injured, or you can hurt somebody else. The worst thing that I think, you know, for us as being believers, for us to be associated, you know, with, I mean, I don't want to say it like too tightly, but if I'm a believer in Christ, I should definitely, you know, represent Christ. I shouldn't be in the body of Christ, but I'm sounding like everybody else, you know, that's, you know, in the world, and sounding like the worldly. You know, how can I convince somebody to come and be a part of the kingdom, but here it is that I'm not living godly? I'm not, you know, how can I convince somebody, you know, to come to Christ when I'm just the same? I'm just as, you know, they are, and probably doing things that are, you know, in our own eyesight and their eyesight, to being worse, probably. probably saying things, you know, it's like, okay, well, if this what a Christian look like, well, no, I don't want to be a Christian. So we want to represent Christ in our daily walk, especially in our daily talk. I said this in 2 p.m. service Sunday before we wrapped it up, that we are speaking spirits. That's what you are. You're a speaking spirit. So let us speak like Christ. Let us speak the word of God. But you got to have the word of God in you to be able to, you know, to be able to speak the word of God. Amen. So let's just move. Let's move on. Let's move forward here. Let's move forward. I think I left off with four, or I might have left off with five. Just giving you some pointers. You know, this is what Bible study is for. It's for us to sharpen one another. It's for us to help one another. I might say something that might help you in something that you're going through right now. You might say something that might help me. You know, we all are in the body of Christ. That's why I invite everyone, you know, to in Bible study, you know, share. You know, share something that may help me, and I'll share something that may help you. Amen. I think let's go over here, six. If you have something to write down, let's go over here to six. We're going somewhere. I don't know if we would finish it all up tonight. I think we got about 20 more minutes left. We're going somewhere here. Six, write this down, please. Understand that nothing in the kingdom of God operates without love, without faith, and without patience. Hallelujah. That is so true. That is so true. Anything that's in the kingdom or that's from the kingdom of God, it operates on these. It operates on love. It operates on patience. And it operates on faith. So whatever it is that you are believing in, we know that the word of God, you know, this is love. You know, this is the promise of God. So you know God loves you because he made you a promise. How many have children? Let me tell you something about what your children would do. When you make a promise to your child, that gives your child hope or faith. That gives them hope and that gives them faith. They know that you love them because that what you had promised to them, without a doubt in their mind, they know that you're going to give them what you promised to them. But here it is as being a child. When you promise something to a child is not going to let you go no long time without coming through with your promise. Hallelujah. That's what a child does to a parent. We should understand this, that we are children of God. You know, it's the same way. You know, God made a promise to us in his word. So this promise that we take to God, God, you said in your word that you would heal me. God, you said in your word that you would never leave me nor forsake me. So now when we go to God saying what God have already promised to us, well, don't you know you're standing on the word of God? Don't you know because it came out of your mouth, you are confessing the word of God? Well, don't you know right here in this place here, this is where, you know, you are looking to see looking to see what God said to come to pass. Now, patience. Oh, this is that one thing. This is that one thing that I'm a victim of it, and every single body that have breath in their body. This is that place right here where we can, you know, come out. We can be wavery in that place of patience. You know, we want things to happen, you know, on our time or happen our way. You know, it needs to happen just like this. Well, we have what it is, you know, that we're trying to do. We do it up to a certain point. And then the part that we can't do, that's the part that we give to God. How about give it all over to God? The issue, the issue for us of patience, the issue of us of faith and hope, and the issue of us of knowing the promise, hey, these things need to line up with one another. So let's understand that. Six, understand that nothing in the kingdom of God operates without love, faith, and patience. God said it. You believe it. Amen. Write this one down as well. We're going somewhere. We're almost there. Seven, take the promise and turn it into a confession. This is big. This is big in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, this probably would be one of the most dynamic things that you can do as a speaking spirit. Amen. One of the most dynamic things that you can do in the body of Christ, you know, as being a speaking spirit, is to take the word of God and turn it into a confession. Amen. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. Let's use scripture. The word of God tells us that life or death is spoken, you know, by the power of the tongue. The word of God also tells us that if you are to decree or declare anything, that it shall come to pass. The word of God tells us that you reap what you sow. So now I want to focus in on what is it that we are saying, and we thank Minister Green because he had already lined us up for this. He said, be careful or be mindful of what you say, because the things that you are confessing out of your mouth, when you take the word of God and you turn it into a daily confession, well, this means something. This is so dynamic. You cannot be moved. You cannot be moved from what's in your mind, and you cannot be moved from what's in your heart. Now, I don't know what's your scripture or scriptures or what's the promise that, you know, that you are confessing every single day, but make sure you are confessing what God said every single day for whatever it is that's concerning you. And let's look at health. If you have this issue of health, I said over here, you know, first, you know, find that promise. That means find that scripture. Locate that scripture and read that scripture, believe that scripture, and let this scripture concerning your health, let this come out of your mouth until you see it. Decree and declare it out your mouth, because you, as being a speaking spirit, see, when you speak in the word of God, don't you know that you are given, we have angels that's assigned to us. Don't you know that you are given God's heavenly host permission and authority to move in your life when you confess the word of God? So take the word of God and turn it into a confession. I confess every single day of my life over in the book of Psalms 91. And there's a lot of believers, you know, all over the world that confess, you know, in Psalms 91. And anybody, you know, that has a conversation with me, you know, if they will go to Psalms 91, they will realize that, hey, you know, the way he is speaking, he is saying some things, you know, that lines up with Psalms 91. I believe that for me, you know, being settled in that place of confessing Psalms 91 out of my mouth every single day, I believe this is the reason why I can walk, you know, from day to day, you know, in peace. I can walk from day to day, you know, with my head, you know, held high, knowing that nothing can harm me. No sickness or diseases. I can walk in a place. I'm not going to walk into a room and not going to cover my face, you know, with the mask. The mask is not what's going to keep sickness and diseases. You know, I'm going to be practical about this thing. If I know it's a room and people in this room, you know, have sick, you know, I'm going to protect myself. I know if there's people are coughing and you know, doing things, you know, that are so unclean, you know, from the body, and they touching this and touching that, I'm not going to go over there and touch right there behind them. I'm not going to say that, okay, it ain't going to come near me. You know, I can go over here and in a room of just sick people, you know, coughing everywhere, I'm not going to get sick. No, but what I'm saying is that I make sure that every single day that I'm establishing something on earth. The word of God is forever established in heaven. So therefore, me as being a speaking spirit, me as being in the body of Christ, I shall and I will establish the word of God every single day. Turn the word of God into a confession. This is so important to us. Once we do that, once we take the promises of God and we turn them into a daily confession, hallelujah, you have no choice but to see that what you're praying about, that what you're talking to God about, to come to pass. The word of God says it. I believed it, and now I shall see. I shall see it. Amen. Confess the word of God. Amen. 8. Write this one down. Let me see how much time we have. We have a few more minutes. We'll pick this up. Won't get all of them. I have about 17 more. We'll stop right here at 8. 8. Write this down. Give voice to the promise so that you can implore the angels. Amen. Amen. We said this. I mean, I just said this. You know, once you give voice to the promise of God, you employ the angels of God to move in your life. Amen? Amen. Quickly, let's go over here to the book of Matthew chapter 17. Let's go over to the book of Matthew chapter 17. I want to show you something. I thank God for the lesson that's going forth tonight. The lesson that's going forth is really, if nobody's getting anything out of it, I know definitely Holy Spirit is speaking to me. Amen. Matthew chapter 17. We'll start right here with verses 14. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14. It reads here, "And when they came to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft time he falls into the fire and often into the water. 16, I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. 17 reads here, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Hallelujah. 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why couldn't we cast him out? 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto the mountain, remove hither to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. We'll stop here at 21. Howbeit this kind goes out but by prayer and fasting. I want us to understand, you know, what is going on here. You know, this man, you know, is scripture saying, you know, he had a son, having seizures, and, you know, he would fall into, you know, seizures. I used to drive a school bus for HISD some years ago, not too many years ago, but some years ago, and I had special needs on my bus, and I understand about seizures. There's this one little girl that she would have seizures, and man, it's just so frightening. You know, the way that I can explain it is like electricity or something, you know, that's going through their brain and however, but it's just to see her, you know, suffer, you know, going in out of seizures. And it's just, I can understand how this father, you know, is feeling about his son. So here it is, you know, right here, you know, the father, you know, came to Jesus. He said, I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. And what Jesus is saying is, you know, hey, how long have I to be with you? You know, bring the child to me. Bring the child to me. So significant, you know, to right here, what we have to understand, there's so many things that we have going on, you know, in our lives, you know, in our body, our physical body, you know, in our health, so many things that are going on in our mind. And we fall into that place where we're thinking it's not, you know, a cure. You know, these things, you know, bring them, you know, to Jesus. But on down here a little bit farther, you know, when I was reading here, I saw something. You know, when the disciples said, well, how could we not cure him? Well, Jesus said, you know, it's because of your unbelief. You know, it's because of your unbelief. You know, there's so many things that we deal with so long, and it's something like seizures. You know, we might be in that place that we think that, oh, I can't be cured from seizures because I was born with this. Or I can't be cured from that because I was born, you know, with this right here type of issue. Well, Jesus is saying, you know, some things, you know, you can't cast them out because it comes by prayer and fasting. By prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is the issue of unbelief. It's an issue of unbelief, you know, right? When you're praying and fasting. So some things we would have to fast and pray about till we get in that place to where, you know, we're not in unbelief. We're in belief, knowing that we can be cured from these things by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank God for every single one, you know, that was here in Bible study tonight. I do hope that the word of God was able to minister every single heart. I hope that you were able to get something out of the lesson tonight. If you do have any questions or comments, you know, do reach out to us, you know, by text. You know, don't be afraid to give us a call. You know, don't be afraid to ask us about something that maybe is concerning you. You know, this is what God wants us to do. God wants us to be able to help one another. The strong shall bear the infirmities of the weak. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for every single word, Father God, that you have given to us tonight. We thank you for every single promise, Father God, every single instruction that you have shown us in the name of Jesus. We do realize, Father God, that we belong to you. And we also realize that sometimes we get a little bit of worldly in our faith. But we thank you, Father God, that we have your word to be able to rely on. We have your word to be able to read. We have you, Holy Spirit, to come to. But we do realize that we confess out of our mouth that you died for our sins, hallelujah, that you went to hell and you was resurrected by the Holy Spirit and ascended into heaven. And we stand on your promises, Father God, what you told us, asking in your name, that it is so. So we thank you, Father God, that you love us so much, that you gave us all that we can ever want and all that we can ever need. through Christ Jesus. We plead the blood of Christ Jesus over us. We plead the precious blood of Christ Jesus over all that is concerning us. For by faith we say that all is well with us, and all is well with our house. We love you, Father God. And we that you first loved us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. God be the glory and all of you say amen. Amen again. So I got a blessed night. We'll be looking forward to see you again here Sunday at 10 a.m. and at 2 p.m. Apostle Tawanika and I, you know, we just love you. We love you. We love you. Love you. Remember that Satan is defeated and Jesus is Lord. Amen. God bless you and may God keep you.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear him say, well.
Give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him. And now I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streets, gold mansions. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you're asking, he'll give you that. How can you imagine living without all his grace? Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Praise you for all of my days. Until I finally stop breathing, yeah.
Get that on a great day. But when I get